friendships never go out of style.
Oh, you're the best friend anybody's ever had. And it's funny, but I feel as if I've known you all this time, but I couldn't have, could I?
If you're not over here in 15 minutes, you can find a new best friend.
Welcome to the Best Friends Playbook Podcast.
With your hosts, Crystal
and Allie.
We've known each other for over 27 years, and we're here to share our wisdom on friendships in film, TV, and literature.
Grab some coffee, our favorite, and get cozy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. Well, yes, it is another episode of Best Friends Playbook. But again, this is our part two of our Halloween special. Allie here with our special guest.
Hannah Lambert from Between Lewis and Lovecraft.
And again, just as a reminder, they do awesome episodes on authors, and occasionally you do books.
Occasionally books, and also occasionally movies. So we've got our own Halloween special coming up soon, and we're going to talk about some scary movies and some fun Halloween movies.
Ooh, that'll be fun. Great. So you guys should look out for that. Go follow them on Instagram and their podcast if you haven't already. And if you missed our first special for the Halloween episode, we did It Chapter 1 and 2, the remakes that came out in 2018, I believe. And today we're doing all four seasons of Stranger Things. There are lots of friendships and relationships in this show. We're kind of tackling a lot today, but we're specifically going to be focusing on friendship of Will and Mike. And then we're going to do Steve and Dustin, Eleven and Max, and then kind of just like a general overall of the four boys, Lucas, Mike, Will, and Dustin, because they're still very much a part of it. But because the group tends to get separated a lot, they have like their own issues going on. Yeah, I feel bad for Lucas. Most of his drama is just usually with the girls. Like he gets in fights with Max a lot. I mean, season three, he does have like, it really is him and Mike. So we'll get into that because he's helping Mike with all of his like lady advice for dating.
Right. He becomes like an expert.
Right. With one girlfriend, an expert.
And they break up all the time.
Yeah. Which is hilarious. But I do love Max's strong, independent woman, how she's not going to put up with any crap.
Yep, she knows she's hot stuff, and mm-hmm. She doesn't need to, you know, pander to Lucas's fragile ego.
Which I think is very important, especially as a young girl, because, oh God, like so many girls, as I was myself, was taught that like what a boy thinks of you is so important. So I'm really glad they paint a good example of not doing that, and rewatching the whole series, my boyfriend Carmichael and I, we realized we believe the Duffer brothers potentially had a single mother, or just that the mother was like the strongest person in their life, because boy, do they paint the gentleman really bad in this show, and it's so much woman power. And it's very interesting, like all the dads are bad, where they're just like lazy or don't pay attention. The moms are doing all the work. And then you have like the female characters, like we'll get into like where Max is telling Mike to back off and let Elle be her own woman. It's very interesting.
That is interesting. I hadn't noticed it on my own, I guess. But now that you say it, it does make total sense. Like even with Mrs. Wheeler, Nancy's mom, like yeah. They have that moment in season three or whatever when her mom like lays down some solid advice about like dealing with sexist men in the workplace and being like, you know, Nancy, you're so much stronger than I ever was. Like you're gonna be fine.
Yeah. Oh my God. That moment makes me cry. It's so good. But yeah, rewatching it, like I feel like this show is so good. And whenever you get to rewatch a show, you get to notice all the small character things that you couldn't before because you're just trying to keep up with the mystery of the show. So we're going to go ahead and start because, like I said, we have four seasons to get through.
Three
seasons. It feels like
we're so excited for season four.
Yeah. We're going to start season one and just go through it. So just keep up with us because we're going to kind of cover the friendships as they start to build. And we have lots of coffee and there might be lots of chaos that happens in this. So, maybe drink coffee with us so then you won't be as confused as we are.
Yeah, get on our level. Pause, go make your coffee. Mm-hmm. Drink at least two cups so you catch up with me.
Yeah, I'm on my third cup.
I'm on my third. So season one, I mean, it starts out with kind of the stereotypical, you know, boys having fun, not a care in the world. They're all playing Dungeons and Dragons and Will is their DM. Which is a very important role, as I've learned since being friends with someone who is obsessed with Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. You know, we're like surrounded by D&D people in your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, the main group is Will, Mike, Lucas, and Dustin. Mm-hmm. But I get the sense at least that Will and Mike have been friends the longest out of this group. Because at some point in either season one or season two, Mike talks about them meeting in kindergarten when Mike was like new to the area and didn't know anybody.
I have that moment. We'll see where it is in my notes. I don't remember which season it's in, but I wrote it down.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obvious pretty early on that Will and Mike are like the pair. Mm-hmm. And then Dustin and Lucas are obviously really good friends, but they're kind of, they came in later. And don't have that same bond that Will and Mike have.
The opening of the season, seeing the boys play their D&D, you know, they have like the huge roll for their battle. And then the mom is like, game over. And his dice falls off the table, which technically when I play, like if your dice falls off the table, you get to re-roll. But these boys are like, no, wherever it lands, it is what it is. And so Mike goes upstairs to like beg his mom if they can keep playing. And she's like, no, like it's 9 o'clock or however late it is. They need to go home. And we discover that Will rolled a 13, which is important because he failed, which means he died. And they all agree not to tell Mike. But as they're leaving the house and it's just Mike and Will, we get a glimpse of like just how honest Will is and what a good friend he is, even though it's just a game. And he tells Mike like that he didn't roll high enough to beat the monster they're battling, which I think was just like a really cute, sweet moment. Like, because we learn in this show that friends don't tell lies. Like, that's a thing that's like
one of their main rules.
Yeah. So we, before it's even said, we get a glimpse of like, Will can't even do it just for the game. He has to tell Mike the truth. And I thought it was a really sweet moment.
Yeah, they're adorable. I mean, I think all of them are pretty bad at lying, but Will fessing up is really, really cute. So, I mean, for me, the next moment isn't really until Will goes missing.
They're at school the next day and I don't think they're aware yet. They just think he's not there.
Yeah. I mean, which is normal, I think, for kids. Like if your best friend doesn't show up. Although when I was in middle school, I had like one best friend the whole time and we were inseparable. And then when we got to high school, like if she was ever out sick, everybody who saw me in the hallway would be like, wait, where's your other half? Like, is it just you walking down the hallway?
But after he goes missing, like, so before the boys notice, this was just like a small moment I noticed that I thought was really sweet. The boys are getting bullied. And after they walk away and make fun of Dustin for like his weird arm thing, Lucas says the bullies are assholes. And then Mike is really cute and says that like the thing that Dustin can do with his arm is really cool. So I just think that like that was a really sweet moment because it kind of makes me also think again, like back to the kids from It. Just, you know, once again, standing up for their friends, you know, not letting the bully be right and like saying like, no, you're cool, dude. Like, that's why we hang out with you. Like, they're just idiots. And I think that's really important because it's so easy for kids to be influenced to like want to be friends with like the cool bullies. And like make your friend feel less, but instead they like build him up, which I think is like really important as a friend.
Right. They don't do the easy thing, which would be like making fun of him with the bullies to gain cred.
Yeah. It's like they make fun of each other for their own stuff. But if like a bully makes fun of you for something, like that's a no-no. Will goes missing and they all decide that it's their duty to find him.
Which is like such a kid thing to do. It's like, yeah, we're totally gonna find our friend. But like while the adults are all having their search party, they're having like their separate search party, right?
Yeah, they construct, well, because first I have in here that Mike, he's sitting at the dinner table and he's arguing with his mom that like they have to find Will. But his mom is like, no, like you're fucking kids, like you can't do that. And then that's when like they get all their walkie-talkies together and they're like, okay, time to plan. Which I also have in there, this happens before. Dustin and Lucas, they're also similar to the other two boys from It. They bicker a lot, which I just love. I don't know why. It makes me happy seeing them bicker because they don't get super mad at each other. Like, that's just their personalities. They just bicker with each other.
Yeah, they're like the cute old married couple or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And is it in season one or season two where Dustin and Lucas like actually comment on how Mike and Will are the main friends and they're just like the sidekicks basically?
It's when they're riding the bikes down the street. Oh, here it is. It is season one. Okay. I have the note, but I also have a bunch of other stuff before it.
There's so many notes. Well, I feel like that's a very normal thing to have happen in group friendships too, especially if you have an odd number, but also if you have even numbers too. It's like there's always going to be situations where two friends are doing something together, or, you know, one person can't hang out, or there's always going to be something that kind of makes you separate off into pairs.
Yeah, which is what Crystal and I always talk about, and you and I referenced in when we did It also, is that like the kids in It don't really have separate friend groups, but in Stranger Things they definitely kind of like go off. And I think, like we've said, it's because Mike and Will have been friends longer. And so I feel like, I think they say Lucas was friends with the group and then Dustin came along. And so they're kind of like the newer ones that just like bonded together. But I guess that works so then nobody feels left out, because I've definitely been in a friend group where it's like three. A group of three is the worst because someone's always left out and you're just like,
and
why
if
didn't
you
invite
fight,
me?
It's like you can have the two gang up on the one. So I think having three is kind of dangerous.
It's really dangerous. Like find a fourth person to complete it so it's not terribly awkward.
Yes.
Just simple things like they sneak out of the house together to go find Will. Like they're willing to risk getting in trouble for him. I like that they're really honest with each other, because Mike calls Dustin a wussy because he doesn't want to go look for Will. And like they're honest with each other. They don't care. This was a side note. We didn't go over this friendship because it's very short-lived. Nancy is a terrible friend because she's boy crazy and she leaves Barb alone. And I think she should 100% blame herself for Barb dying.
Yep.
She went upstairs to have sex and should have known that Barb would be sad. And I was normally like the Barb in friendships where like I would go somewhere and I'm like, why didn't you bring me? Just in case the boy didn't want you.
Oh, that's mean.
It's terrible. I was like, also boy crazy, but the boys just didn't want me. That's just how high school was. I'm fine with it. I was the geek in high school. It's totally okay.
Luckily,
I was not a Nancy Wheeler.
My best friend and I were both tragically uncool in high school, so we weren't getting invited to parties with boys anyway.
Yeah, it's
otherwise
that,
that probably would have impacted our friendship negatively.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. But that's just my side tangent on that.
Crystal, yeah, Nancy sucks as a friend.
Yeah, because like I was definitely more boy crazy than Crystal also. Like she calls me out for it all the time when we do episodes and I'm like, I'm aware, Phil. And so it's like, yeah, if you're in high school right now, guys, you can be friends with boys, but don't need their attention. Like your girlfriends are 100 times better than them. Don't ditch your friends for whoever you're attracted to, essentially. It's not worth it, because it will probably end because you're teenagers and your hormones are haywire.
Yep. And then your friends won't like you anymore.
And your friend could get eaten by a monster.
That too.
I just have, again, little notes in here like Lucas teasing Mike for being in love with Elle. They all seem to agree about hiding her, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a natural reaction too. It's like, obviously this kid has a lot going on with her. We can't trust the adults in our lives. Let's hide her in Mike's basement.
Yeah, which, I feel like I didn't have a place in my house to hide a person. Like if I found a random strange
kid.
Yeah, who like didn't talk. There would be no place to hide that person. Somebody else would have to do it. I wouldn't be able to do it. Oh, and then we have like Lucas and Mike actually get in a really big fight, because when they're going to go look for Will and she thinks she knows where he is, and then she realizes he's like near the bad place, she messes with their compass, and then they get in a huge fight because Elle attacks Lucas for like the boys being in a physical fight.
And yeah, like Lucas is trying to beat Mike up, basically, and she slams him into a car or something.
Mike also then gets mad at her because he's like, whoa, you took it like way too far. And so then because of that, Elle disappears. And then Dustin is basically like, he's the one whole. So now they have only three friends. So like just what we were talking about, because like Will's gone missing. Lucas and Mike are fighting. So Dustin has to be like the adult and tell them to get over each other.
Right. And then Elle comes back and takes him to the quarry or whatever as they're dragging Will's body, quote unquote, out.
Yeah.
And then they get like sort of mad at her again, right? Because she was telling them that he was alive and they're like, he's dead.
Yeah. So they're like super confused as to what's going on. And they're like, why would you lie to us? They're trying to figure it out. Oh, Elle comes back because, yeah, like you were just saying, they were telling the boys to jump into like the big quarry, the lake. Sorry, my eyes flashed over it. I was confused. Yeah, we have Lucas apologize to Elle, and then Mike apologizes to Lucas. So they make up, which is good.
I think it happened at some point before this, but there was another moment with the bullies and the three main boys. And I think Elle was there too. Yeah, she was in the gymnasium or whatever after the assembly when the bullies were like laughing about Will and like making fun of him and stuff. And then they had that confrontation where I think it was mostly Mike was like ready to fight with them. He was like, how dare you say that about my friend? And then Elle makes him like wet his pants or whatever.
Cause that's the first time that she does it. And then the second time is when, I think that's when they go to the cops the second time, because she doesn't have her wig on. And it's when like the bullies are telling Mike to jump off like the cliff edge. And then she like comes and like does all her powers on them and beats the crap out of them. And they go and like cry wolf. And that's when like Hopper's like, you saw her? But yeah, season one ends up going by really fast. I guess what I like is that like once they get over Elle and they kind of realize that she is their friend and she's super cool and she defends them, all the boys come together and like become friends with Elle. Like, even though obviously like Mike is the one that has feelings for her. It's interesting how like the other two never garner any feelings, not even out of like respect for Mike. They just don't have that connection with her, but they do connect with her in a friendship way. And they like really appreciate her.
Right. She's just like your friend's girlfriend or your friend's wannabe girlfriend who you put up with. Like, they actually love and care about her too.
And then they all go to the school. Cause then at this point, like, this is when like we have all the separate factions, like Hopper and Joyce are going to go find Will. And then Nancy and Jonathan are like fighting the Demogorgon. So then they're going into the school to also battle, which is something I really love about the show, is that like they're all solving their own mysteries, but it ends up being like the same mystery. But and then they like have their own separate battles at the same time. So yeah, I really love that when Elle is about to get taken by Papa, the boys like try and fight, and then she sacrifices herself to save her friends, which is really sweet.
She's always doing selfless crap like that.
I know, she's too good. She's too good for this world. And then it just shows the boys playing D&D again, and they have Will back, but they're still sad because Elle's gone.
Right. It's like you get one friend back and lose another one.
Yeah.
And okay. It's probably like interesting in that in-between time too, because like Will didn't really get to know Elle. Like, they were in completely different spots throughout this whole time. So they have like this friend who they miss and was a huge part of their life, but then their other best friend has no idea what went on there.
Yeah, he just comes back and he's like, I'm saved. This girl saved me that I never met. Well, I think he saw her in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
But that was like it. That's all they have.
And not exactly a fond memory, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So now we have season two, which I have two pages of notes for. Oh, dear.
Season two is where like we start to introduce all of the other friendships too.
Yeah. Which is where chaos is going to happen here. So hold on to your butts, guys. Let's see. So we start to have like Will. This is when we realize that like something is still inside of Will. And I love that everyone, especially Mike, is keeping an eye on him. Like, obviously Joyce is worried, but everyone else is keeping an eye on him because they know that like, they don't know something's in him, but they know that he's been traumatized. So I like that they're looking out for him. So like when they're at the arcade and he like starts to kind of dip into the Upside Down, and Mike notices that he wanders off immediately and like goes to check on him, which I think is really good.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing like how attuned they are to each other's feelings, particularly Will's, because I feel like that's not a typical trait, especially in young boys.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive that they're like seeing those subtle signs.
And I feel like maybe had they not been traumatized for what happened in season one, they might have not had like this growth development and being that caring for each other. Obviously, the boys are all like, ooh, who's Max? But then we have like Will, who's like, oh God, there's something inside of me. And Mike is like, why aren't we caring about Will? And Elle will not be replaced with this new girl. Because he's like, he really feels like it's a replacement for her, which makes him really upset.
Yeah, it's like this massive betrayal for him, which I kind of get. I mean, he's sad and he's very young, so not good at processing his emotions. But it's also super unfair for Max. And then meanwhile, Lucas and Dustin are having their little like quarrel over who gets to go out with Max.
Yeah. They're like, who's going to win her? Which again, Max is not a prize, but you know, boys are silly and young and they don't get that, but she puts them in their place, which is what matters.
Yes. So this is where we really start to see Steve and Dustin become friends too.
Yeah. Because let's see. So like I just think it's cute. They all dressed up as Ghostbusters and they're arguing about who's going to be Venkman, which I love that Lucas calls him out and he's like, why should I be Venkman? Because I'm black. And Mike's like, no, like, so good.
But it's like, yes, totally. Yes, that's what you're thinking.
Exactly. It was so funny. Destin and Lucas ask Maxine to go trick-or-treating with them, but they're super scared. And like, Destin doesn't know what presumptuous means and Lucas won't tell him so he can look better in front of him, which is in front of Max, which is really funny. So Max ends up meeting up with them, but then Mikey's like, why didn't you ask me if this was okay? And Will was like, I don't know. They seemed really excited. Was I supposed to ask you? Like, and Mike's all mad at Will as if it's his fault. Which is just ridiculous.
He's like, you're my best friend. You should have known better.
Yeah. It feels like Mike feels like he's seeing Elle and he's going crazy. Before like Destin meets up with Steve, he finds like the baby Demogorgon slug.
Oh, yeah. Dart.
Yeah. Which I really hate that he kept Dart because then Dart fucking ate his cat.
Yeah.
So mad about that. They're all arguing about what it is that he has. And they start to realize... okay, so before this, when they go trick-or-treating and Will like has his big freak out, Mike takes him home because he's all pissed at the boys for not paying attention and like being with Max. And that's when like Will tells Mike about all the like episodes he's been having and he thinks they're real. And then Mike explains that he's been seeing Elle and they both feel like they've been going crazy and they're like, well, let's go crazy together. I think that's like a really important moment because like you said, again, they're being like open and vulnerable with each other and they both really need that right now because like they're both like traumatized by like a great loss that they've had.
Right. I think my note is that Steve had gone to the Wheelers or Destin went to the Wheelers to find Mike to help with Dart because he's like, I got to find this thing. We've totally lost it. He's getting bigger.
Yeah.
He's going to eat the whole town basically. So Destin goes to find Mike. He's not there. And he runs into Steve, who's taking Nancy flowers.
That's right.
She's also not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Destin's like, well, you've got a car. You're going to help me now.
When they're a little bit before, just because this like, it's like sort of the beginning of Max and Elle's friendship. When Mike is talking to Max in like the gymnasium, trying to explain like why she can't join the group, Elle sees it, slams Max off her skateboard because she's jealous. And like, he knows that that could have only been Elle, which is really cute. But that's also like the first part of Max and Elle's friendship is that like she has jealousy over Max because she doesn't know what the relationship is.
Yeah. I mean, they get off to a very bad start in that situation. And then later in season two, when Elle like completely blows Max off, she's like, I still hate you. You were talking to my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So the fact that they become friends later on is like really very interesting.
Destin and Steve, which are really cute because like he starts to give him advice on like how to potentially get Max and how to just be himself and take care of his hair. Their friendship
right.
is amazing.
He teaches him the Farrah Fawcett secret or whatever to doing his hair.
Yeah. And he's like, if you tell anyone, I'll kill you.
And then they end up at the junkyard to set up the trap for Dart. And that's when Lucas and Max show up too.
Yes.
And at that point, I don't think Steve knew who exactly Destin liked, but at some point in there, like Lucas and Max are like having a moment and Steve sees the look on Dustin's face and he instantly realizes what is going on. And he just like, he feels so sad for him. And it's just really cute. I don't know what Steve's sibling situation is. I feel like he might be an only child.
I think so. They've never touched on it in the show. So I'm going to assume he's an only child.
Yeah. So his friendship with Destin has always like seemed like a sibling relationship to me, sort of.
Yeah.
They definitely fight a lot and bicker and all of that stuff. But like at the end of the day, they love each other, man.
Yeah, they do, which is really great. And I love that also all the older siblings, whenever they come into contact with the younger kids, they just immediately take like ownership and being like the protective adults and being in charge of the group, which is like a really interesting dynamic. Mike is looking for Will. He goes to the house and his mom's like, this is really not a good time. And he's like, I know what's going on. And so then it's really great that he gets to be there with Will while this is like, well, he's like being possessed essentially, which I think is important because like he needs his friend there.
And also Mike understands him in a way that the adults don't. and like picks up on what he's saying. Like, I'm not sure where chronologically it falls, but like when they take Will to the lab to have the doctors like look at him or whatever, Mike is the one who realizes that the mind flayer is using him to set up a trap for the scientists who are going into the upside down. It's a little too late, but he's the one who's like, no, abort, abort. Like, this is a trap.
I also have like Lucas gets mad at Dustin for keeping Dart because now he's put all of them at risk. And so he's saying that because Dustin is mad at Lucas for telling Max everything, which is breaking the rules. But then Lucas, like they kind of both broke the rules at that point for lying to each other. Cause like Dustin said he got rid of Dart, which he didn't. And then finally Dustin and Lucas make up and they say he's okay with Max and he can tell they have electricity. And he's sad about it, but he's accepted it, which I think is good. Like he doesn't get like butthurt or become a brat about it. He's just like, obviously I want you to be happy. Like it sucks for me, but I'm happy for you. Which is good. Then they're not fighting over her like that. Mike is still mad at Max and won't let her be a part of the group.
I feel like Mike can be the pettiest out of all of them.
Oh, he's so petty. He's so petty.
He's a little drama queen.
And then like, like you said, when Elle comes back into the group, Max tries to be really polite to her and she just like straight up ignores her. Like when she greets her.
So cold. I think my last big moment with Steve and Dustin was when everybody else leaves to get the mind flayer out of Will. And they leave babysitter Steve behind, which I think is funny because around that time is when he tells Nancy, he's like, I may have been a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a pretty damn good babysitter, which I'm like, that just like sums up your role in season two. And then they leave him at Will's house with the rest of the kids. And that's when Billy shows up. And I'm really pissed at the stupid kids because they're the whole reason that Billy found out they were there. Like Steve's out there trying to get him to leave. And he's like, your sister's not here. And Billy's like, then who's that?
And then obviously Steve gets like the shit beat out of him because of that.
Oh, I was just going to say. And then he like wakes up in the back of Billy's car after Max tranquilized him or whatever. And Dustin is like lovingly holding an ice pack to Steve's bruised face. And he's like, hey, buddy, it's okay. You put up a good fight. He kicked your ass, but you put up a good fight.
Yeah, that's right. Cause it's once again, like he got his ass beat by Jonathan and then he gets his ass beat by Billy. So that's like the running joke for Steve is that he can't win in a fight. And I also think it's funny that like, I remember how I was saying that when like ever Nancy or Jonathan or Steve come into the group, they kind of like take charge to be in control. But I feel like Dustin and Steve are always fighting over like who's going to take care of each other, which we see more of in season three. And it's really cute how much they like want to protect each other. And then I think at that point, it's just this really cute moment of Steve dropping Dustin off at the dance. It reminds him like how to get a girl. And the group makes fun of Dustin's hair. He's like, It's cool. I think it's really sweet that Will gets asked to dance and he doesn't know what the words are to say yes. And Mike like kind of helps him and pushes him towards the girl. And they just all have like their sweet, like happy dance moments.
Yes. So cute. Very long scene though. I realized as I was rewatching it, I'm like, wow, there's so many scenes within this scene.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's so cute though. And I love that Nancy like dances with Will, which just shows like she really is a good big sister and like cares about all the kids.
Yeah, my sister was there when I was rewatching.
Or Dustin, sorry. She dances with Dustin.
Yeah, because he gets shot down by all the other girls. My sister was in the room when I was rewatching that episode. And she was like watching it out of the corner of her eye. And she's like, I'm going to start crying. This is so sad because Dustin's just getting shot down left and right. And he's sitting there with his lip trembling. But then Nancy comes over and saves the day.
It's okay. He gets a girlfriend in season three. I'm happy like the writers redeemed him, even though no one believes him.
Speaking of season three.
So first off, all the boys, except Dustin, because he wasn't there for the summer, are annoyed with Will because he's spending so much time with Elle.
Mike.
Thank you.
Yes. They're interchangeable almost. Completely
I wrote Will in my notes for some reason. Yeah, giving Mike so much shit for that. Elle also, she has like this major curfew because they still don't want anyone to find her.
Yeah. So, and like, obviously Lucas and Max are together for a lot of this, but I feel like they hang out with the group more. They're less like infatuated.
Yeah.
Then Mike and Elle. So Mike has just become completely insufferable.
I also put when they go to the movies, Will starts to have like his weird like tingling sensation. And Mike is actually like very in tuned and he notices stuff is going on. And I feel like I don't necessarily, because I put in my notes that Will lies, but now that I think about it, I don't think Will's lying. I think he's actually lying to himself, like trying to think it's not real, because that would be horrifying if the mind flares back.
Right. And I mean, they're all pretty confident at the end of season two that they've gotten rid of it. So I could see how it would be easy to doubt yourself in that situation.
Yeah. He's like, no, I'm just having PTSD, like they said last time.
So I think that also adds to Will's like feeling of abandonment in season three. Like I have in my notes that he's pretty sad because his friends all have girlfriends and he just wants to play D&D and none of them are that into it. Like there's that one morning when Lucas and Mike sleep over and then he wakes them up in his like full wizard costume and is like declaring it a day free of girls. And he's going to do his dungeon master thing to get them all inspired. And Mike and Lucas just totally aren't into it. And Mike like even makes fun of him a little bit, which I think is really hurtful for Will.
Yeah. And it's because he's being so petty because basically Hopper threatened him to not see Elle anymore. He lied to Elle. He shouldn't have lied to Elle. He should have told her the truth about what was going on, but he was terrified of Hopper. And then Elle, because she has no one to hang out with and she realizes this, she's like, okay, I'm going to go see Max. Maybe Max will know what to do, which is really sweet. And Max is like, fuck this. Fuck the rules. We're going shopping. You can do whatever you want. Don't let anyone tell you what to do, which I love that like Max ignites this like independent woman in Elle because she's always been controlled by men in her life.
Yeah. And that's like their first like moment together. Like obviously they've been hanging out most of the summer because their boyfriends are friends, but I didn't get the sense that they were like pals then.
No, I think Elle just kind of accepted that she's with Lucas. So she's not a threat to Mike anymore. So she let that go, but she was so into Mike that she just didn't really create a friendship with Max.
Yeah. So their friendship becomes born out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they go shopping and the line that I liked there was when Max was telling Elle to buy clothes that feel like her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, not Hopper, not Mike, you.
You. Yeah.
Because at this point, like you said, Elle has been completely defined by the male influences in her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Max is really trying to help her be herself and make her own decisions, which I think is really great that she now has a friend like that.
Plus, they get to have all sorts of fun, like when they run around trying on the clothes and they blow up the mean girl's drink.
Yeah.
Which is just like adorable. That's like your ideal friendship plus superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know like Hopper's like, you can't use your powers at all. But I think that like it's harmless for the little things that she does. And also she's a teenager. She's eventually going to start using them. It would be better for her to use them in small ways rather than use them out of rebellion and bad ways that would cause like more attention.
Right. Yeah. So my other note for that scene is like, as they're leaving or whatever, Max tells Elle, she's like, see, what did I tell you? There's more to life than stupid boys.
And it's also good because like when she dumps Mike, she actually feels better about it because she realizes like, I spent too much time with you and I was missing out on other things in life.
Yeah. And to some degree, like, I don't know that Elle thought dumping Mike was going to be permanent anyway.
Yeah.
Like Max doesn't treat her breakups as permanent either. She's like, oh yeah, Lucas and I break up all the time.
They're like, they're lessons she teaches to him so he can like, she does it so he realizes what a dumbass he was and then they can get back together.
Yeah. Which is probably not healthy if you're like in your 20s and having a relationship, but when you're in like seventh grade or whatever grade they're in.
Oh, and then also it's Lucas. I feel like that doubts the girlfriend situation the most, but because he's the one paying attention, but no one believes that Dustin has a girlfriend, which I think is like really sad because they should like support him, but they just don't believe him.
I know. Cause he's so excited about it. When he gets home, he's like, oh, she's hotter than the hottest girl in school. And she's a genius. And Lucas is like, nobody is that perfect. And then Max like pretends to get mad at him over that. She's like, wait, what are you saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think, other than Will, I think Dustin is the one who probably feels like the most abandoned by his friends in season three.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he gets close to Steve.
Yeah, he purposely goes to Steve at that point. But it is messed up because like Max and Lucas are super annoyed. So they like leave the top of the hill in a really rude way. And Will is at least like a lot nicer about it. But that's when Dustin intercepts the Russians. And so he goes to see Steve because he's like, you know what? They did this to me last year. I'm just going to go find Steve. He'll help me solve the mission. And so then these two start to get bonded. Again, Steve doesn't believe that Dustin's girlfriend is real. And he tells him like how his friends all ditched him. So he's really excited that he has Steve to hang out with.
I know. And it's so cute when like they first reunite at Steve's work and do like their dorky little secret handshake. And Robin's just like standing there, mouth open. She's like, how many children are you friends with?
Yeah, because they're at least like 6 or 7 years apart, which is amazing. Yeah. So at this point, like Lucas is giving Mike shit. He's like, why didn't you come to me for advice? I could have helped you fix this. He tries to take him shopping to buy her a present, which obviously doesn't work. He gets caught and then she officially breaks up with him.
They're just so dumb.
They're like, so dumb.
Lucas is the experienced one and he just has the worst ideas.
He does. It is cute though how like in season two, he asks his dad for advice and his dad is like, oh, the women are always right. And his mom's just like, that's correct. So like, which is again, another thing of like, I feel like the Duffer brothers are like even more pointing out to like, they had powerful women in their life and they're very like, I don't know, very feminist, which I love. Like Elle and Max spy on the boys, which is really funny. And she's not supposed to do it. But then she's like, I make my own rules. Like, shut up. It's
exactly
fun.
Like on the one hand, Max is a really good influence on her, but she also like does these things that kind of aren't the greatest. Like, yeah, on the one hand, it's cute that Elle is like, I make my own rules, but also that's not going to fly like in a long-term relationship.
Yeah,
like, okay,
exactly.
You have boundaries. You can't use your superpowers to spy on your friends or your boyfriends.
Yeah, but it ends up working out that they do because then they are starting to solve the mystery of what's going on with Billy. So they work on that together.
Billy doesn't count. He's trash.
Yeah, he's trash.
With a heart of gold.
I know it. His story is so sad. But yeah, so then we get to the part where you said we're like, the boys are being mean to Will where they're playing D&D. So much so that like when the phone rings, Mike just like jumps out of his chair thinking that it's Elle just to like solve the day. And Mike, Will's just like, I'm done at this point.
Yeah. So he like starts to storm off and they have that scene that's like very sad in the garage while he's like getting ready to leave. And Will is like on the verge of tears. He's telling Mike that he's like ruining their whole friendship for some stupid girl so he can swap spit with her. And Mike gets all indignant. He's like, Elle's not stupid. It's not my fault you don't like girls.
Which is such like a mean dig because in season one, they reference Will being gay. And I think at that point that it's confirmed that like his friends know they don't care. They accept him, love him for it. But that was just such a cheap dig that Mike went so personal at Will.
Right. And then he follows it up with like, did you think we were going to sit in my basement and play games forever? And Will is just like, yep, I guess yep. I did. And then just rides off in the pouring rain.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Because I mean, even without like the feeling of being abandoned for like a girl in romantic relationships, like he feels like his friends are growing up without him and aren't interested in the things that they used to all bond over. And he's just kind of getting left behind.
Well, and also like, I feel like the Duffer brothers do a really good job of like, of gracefully showing the issue because like, obviously we still have like bigots and homophobes today in the world. In the 80s, I feel like it was even worse if you were gay, especially like with the whole AIDS scare. And so like we have Robin who eventually comes out to Steve and Steve totally accepts it and just like immediately starts teasing her for the girl that she likes. But they just kind of show that for Will and Robin, it's a lot tougher for them. They don't get to sort of live life the way that their friends do. And so they definitely feel left behind when it comes to romantic relationships. And so like they, like you said, they also don't get to grow up exactly in the same way. They don't get to experience the same things because like, it's probably unlikely that someone else is going to admit to you that they're gay. And then if they do, they won't even want to go public with it because they'll just be like trashed and like demonized for it, which is just like so heartbreaking. And that's why I think it's even like a worse dig at Will because he doesn't get to experience what it's like to be in a relationship and like have a crush on someone.
Right. Yeah. Continuing just on their trajectory of that, like Will has his whole breakdown when he goes out into the woods to Castle Byers, like is smashing it with a baseball bat because he's like seeing all the pictures and stuff from their childhoods. And he's like, this is over.
He's so exciting.
Completely melts down. It's so sad. But then at the end of that episode, I think is when see Mike and Lucas run up to him basically because they've been out searching in the woods for him. Even though they had their fight, like they're not going to, I feel like if I were in that situation, I would just wait till the next day and be like, you know what, I'll see him at school I'll see him at his house or whatever. And I'll just apologize then. But they're like, no, Will needs us. We're going to run through the pouring rain and find him. And they run into him like around the exact same time that Will realizes the mind flayer is back.
Yeah, he feels it like in his neck as it's happening. And during this time, Elle has had like 4 sleepovers with Max, and she's telling her who Wonder Woman is and why she shouldn't hang out with just boys. Again, like their friendship, I think, is just really sweet and really important.
And it's also, I think Hopper really appreciates it too, because there's that moment when he gets home and he sees the door closed and he's just like pissed. He's like, I've told these freaking kids, keep the door open. And he storms in, and then Elle and Max just look up at him like, what the hell? And he's like, oh, you're not Mike. He's like, oh, finally, my daughter has a girlfriend. You had mentioned Robin, who was like one of my favorite added characters in season 3. Until the very end, though, like Steve doesn't know she's gay.
Yeah.
And Dustin is like pushing Steve to go out with her, because there's one part where they're like, I think it's when they're spying in the mall trying to find the Russians, quote unquote. Dustin is like starting to give Steve life and girl advice, whereas last season it was the opposite way. And Dustin says something like, instead of dating someone you think is going to make you look cooler, why don't you date someone you actually like?
So I'm going to jump back to this really quick. Lucas, like when they're trying to come up with a trap to trap Billy, Lucas apologizes to Will saying like how cool the campaign was. And Will says like he doesn't care because they have bigger things to worry about, which I think is just also kind of like heartbreaking. That I think that's him trying to accept that like him and his friends won't play D&D as much as they used to, but they're still best friends and that things are changing, and he just kind of has to accept them in that moment.
Yeah. And they're still on the same team regardless. Yeah. But I think it is cute that like Lucas and Mike keep apologizing for so long afterwards. Like it would be a very easy excuse to be like, oh, we're trying to fight the mind flayer, I don't need to apologize for that shitty thing I did the other day.
Yeah.
But no, they're like, we are going to hold ourselves accountable and make things right with our friend.
Oh, and then when they're at the hospital, and Lucas and Mike are trying to get candy out of the machine, and then Elle like helps them because their candy gets stuck. And Lucas is like, this is your window. And Mike's like, what? And he's like, oh my God, do I have to help you with everything?
They're so dumb.
Steve and Robin, when they're in the elevator and they're trying to figure out like what's inside like the box that like the Russian spies have, Steve tells everyone to stand back, and Dustin's arguing with him. He's like, no, if you're going to die, I'm going to die with you. Like, he makes that very clear. That like they go
at one other point too, in like season 2, right? There was some, I think that's the second time that Dustin said that to Steve. He's like, you die, I die.
Yeah. Like they always go down together, which I think is really sweet. But then as they do get popped by the Russian spies, Steve and Robin, they make sure that Dustin and Erica get out, which I think is really sweet. Oh, okay. So this is super important. So Elle is in the room trying to find the monster, and Max and Mike are bickering about whether or not she should be doing it. And I love that Max goes up to Nancy and she's like, can you decide this? And basically says like, you know, Elle's her own woman. She can make her own decision. She's a grown human being, blah, blah, blah. And like Nancy just like, boom, backs her up for everything. And then it's really cute because Mike gets all emotional and he's like, I just love her. And then she walks out of the room, and Will and Lucas, they're not even like, ew, that's gross. They're just like, oh, okay. Like they're happy for him, but they're like, wow, at the same time.
Like, you said it.
And then it's funny because Elle is like, I'm going to try and figure out where he is by going into his mind, the mind flayer. And Mike is really scared. And she's like, I need you to trust me. And then he looks at Max like, oh, is this the moment? And she's like, yeah, you fucking idiot. And he's like, okay, I trust you.
In a totally unconvincing voice. And then he like goes and sits down on the lounge chair and is just like staring at her. Yeah, and Mike and Max have a very like contentious relationship. I don't know if it's because they started off that way in season 2 or because they're both like kind of competing about who's got Elle's best interests in mind.
I feel like there's like subconscious stuff because they started out in a contentious way. So like he's already bitter about that. And then now she's like invading their friendship. But guys, female friendships are we're really tough. And like, if you mess with our girl, we mess with you back. So just watch out for that.
Yeah. I think it will be interesting, assuming that he and Elle stay in a relationship and that Max is still part of their lives. It would be interesting to see how Max and Mike's relationship develops. Like if they're always kind of the warring best friend and boyfriend, or if they work it out.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm definitely a Max. I'm very like protective and all about making sure that like my female friends are getting to make like their own choices and stuff. See, the boys finally meet up and they say like they're not mad at each other anymore. And Destin's like, well, I was mad at you, but now I'm not. And he's like, I just had a really bad signal. And then at one point, I can't remember where this happens, but Destin tells Steve that it's his job to keep him safe now.
Oh, I do want to mention the one moment when Steve knocks out the Russian dude during that fight. Dustin's like,
that's
so
right.
There for it. He's like, dude, you did it. You won a fight.
That's right.
He totally hypes him up. And I love it. And especially because like Steve barely won the fight. He only won because he hit the dude and then the dude hit a table on his way down. But you know what? It still counts.
It still counts. Yeah. But I totally forgot to bring that moment back around. Yeah, it's so great. He's also kind of making fun of him too in that moment.
He is. I mean, he's kind of trolling him, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was like in season 3, Steve got the shit beat out of him again by the Russians. Nice for him to finally have a win.
And then I also like, this is just like a small moment, but when they're in the grocery store and Lucas opens up a Diet Coke and they're all just like, what the fuck are you doing? And they like have this bickering moment. And even though like the mind flayers like on the loose, they still have time to bicker about like whether or not someone should be drinking like a shitty soda.
But then Elle like rips off the blindfold and like gives him the death glare.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing?
Oh, and then it's funny when like they're going up to the hill so they can get to Dustin's like massive radio. And Eric is like, Susie sounds fake. Don't you think so, Steve? And Steve hesitates. Dustin's like, why are you hesitating? Like, why don't you have my back? And he just still doesn't say anything. This is where everything kind of like climaxes. But like Max breaks down over Billy's death. And so Elle is there to console her, which is really sweet. It's really cute how Max and Lucas are making fun of the song Dustin and his girlfriend sing, like as they're packing up for Will's move.
Right. Every time I watch that episode, I get that song stuck in my head for like the next day.
That's surprising. I can't remember any of the words.
Oh, I loved The Neverending Story when I was a kid. So the first time I was watching season 3 and they started singing the first line, I was like, wait, this sounds really familiar. Where have I heard this before? And then they get to the chorus and I'm like, oh shit, this is bringing back so many memories.
I think I only watched that movie like twice when I was really little and I haven't seen it since. So that's why I like didn't remember what it was from until you just brought it up. That makes sense. It's an 80s movie.
Yeah, I was obsessed with it to the point where like one of our family friends who makes jewelry, she made me like the beaded thing that the princess wears in that movie. So yeah, The Neverending Story. I was in love with that.
It's big for you. That's
yes.
True.
Big moment.
And then I think this is just like the last moment, like when Will's moving, he puts his D&D box into the donation box. Mm-hmm. And Mike's like, what are you doing that for? And he's like, well, we can just use yours. And he's like, well, what if you want to join a new party? And Will's like, not possible. And I'm just like, you boys are so cute.
I know. I wrote down that exact moment too, because I was just like, oh, that's so sweet. And then Don't they give the books to Erica?
I don't remember that.
I thought for some reason, like,
that might have
Dustin or someone gave
maybe
them to
her. Maybe that's like in a trailer for season 4, because there's like a few things that I thought I saw at the end of season 3 and then I didn't see them. And I'm like, this must have been in a trailer for season 4. So maybe that was it. Yeah.
I mean, I hope they do because I love Erica and she and Dustin have that cute moment. I can't remember what point in season 3 it was, but she says something like really smart mathematically. Oh, she calculates like how long it would take them to walk out of the underground lair. And he's like, holy crap, you're a nerd. And she's like, take it back.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm not. And then he breaks down My Little Pony. And then she's like, well, why do you watch that show? And he's like, because I'm a nerd. She was trying to pin him for watching like a girl show. But it's like, no, it's still fantasy based.
Yeah, I think that's cute too, how like he refuses to let her insult him with the nerd. It's like, yeah, I am a nerd. Like,
yeah,
I will embrace that.
Yeah, she can't win that insult she tried to nail him with. But I feel like that was everything. Do you feel like we missed anything for season 3?
No, I mean, there's just so many good friendships in there. Mm-hmm. Do you have any like friendships that you want to see in season 4? Like people, characters who you want to see bond more?
Oh man, I think it would be really interesting if Jonathan and Steve became friends.
Whoa.
I think that would be like really cool. Because obviously it was, we had Jonathan and Nancy and Steve team up in season one to kill the Demogorgon. But I think it would be really cool if they all actually became friends.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve was totally a piece of shit in the first season. And I hate rewatching it because of that, because I love him so much now. But like season two really changed his character. And then season three, he just became like the perfect dude, basically, especially with how he handled Robin, because he's like, he has a total crush on her. And then she's like, I like girls. And he's like, oh, okay, well, we're friends now.
He was, I don't think he was shocked either. I think he was more like, oh, you, how did I not put that together sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like, oh, that's what you're trying to tell me. I love that scene with them in the bathroom. It's so like well written, and they totally both nail it. It's, I think it made me cry the first time I saw it too, because it was just like hard for Robin to get that out and have to admit that. And I feel like she hated also breaking Steve's heart, because I think that like if she did like boys, she probably would date Steve. And that's why she's sad, because she cares about him so much now.
Yeah, like they're best friends, but she's never going to have romantic feelings for him.
Yeah.
Which is hard. I would love to see a Jonathan and Steve friendship. I really want to see Nancy and Elle bond more.
That would be cute. Yeah, have them have more of like a sisterly kind of bond.
Yeah, because I feel like Elle just, she needs more females in her life, especially now that, as far as she knows, she's lost Hopper. So she really doesn't have any older people taking care of her. And I think Nancy would be a good one, because, I mean, Nancy is her boyfriend's older sister. So they can already start to have like that sisterly bond. I think the age difference has been weird so far for most of those characters, but once they're getting into like high school, it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, because like you get a little bit more mature, so it's easier to like hang out with someone that's younger. Because like me and my sister, we're 8 years apart. And so like, I feel like until I was in high school, we couldn't really bond on like the same level.
Right. Yeah. My sister and I are 5 years apart, but we didn't really start to like get along well until she was probably like 13-ish. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's when like we could like all the same movies and like kind of talk about the same stuff. Not all the way, but you know, you're not hanging out with someone who is still in middle school.
Yeah. I think because me and my brother are 5 years apart too. So once I became a freshman in high school, then he was like, okay, you're kind of cooler. I wasn't just like, I was still his annoying little sister, but like we had more to potentially bond over.
Right.
There's a lot of friendships here to rate. I feel like Elle and Max definitely had a big turnaround. So I'm going to give them like a 7 because they did not like each other at first for silly reasons. Dustin and Steve, I think they're pretty solid. They're like an 8 or 9. And then like Mike and Will, I think they're pretty close to like a 9. Did that hurtful stab of like calling him out for not being straight. So like they could have been a 10. Mike
typical Mike. No, I think overall I agree. Yeah. Elle and Max had the rocky start, but came back to kind of win it in season 3. So I'd probably give them like a 7 or an 8. And then Dustin and Steve, I feel like they're pretty solid. I think they're going to stay friends for a long time just because they've been through so much together. And I love their like brotherly relationship. So I'd give them like an 8 probably. And then Mike and Will probably an 8 too. Like they just seem like they've had kind of the smoothest like friendship. Obviously they have their little fights, but I feel like they've been solid from day one. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have to like create a new relationship at any point, whereas the other ones it was like, oh, like we just met and shit's getting crazy in our world, we're gonna be friends now and get through this together.
Yeah, especially because like I feel that Elle and Max, they still have a lot more room to develop their friendship. They obviously came together because of what was happening with her and Mike. I do feel like Max definitely has been wanting to be her friend since she heard about her, though. And it was just a matter of Elle warming up to her. And then all the chaos happened at once. And so hopefully now they just have time to like be friends.
Be kids. Which it'll be interesting considering Elle has now moved. It'll be interesting to see if she and Max stay friends throughout the distance.
I mean, I hope so, because I'm going to be really upset if Nancy and Jonathan break up due to distance.
I know. I feel they can't. They've been through so much. It would be cool to see there, I mean, obviously this is never going to happen because it's a TV show and that would be boring, but I wish I could see more Jonathan and Nancy moments that don't involve life or death situations. Cause I'm like, I want to see what they like about each other. That's not like, holy crap, there's a monster after us. We have to save each other.
Yeah. And I also hope though that the Duffer brothers don't go for like the cliche of like, because it's long distance and life got in the way that they're having problems. Like, I actually want to see them trying to make it work. So I feel like every show does that the moment, like they're like, oh, we're going to fight to make it work and then cut to the next season. And it's like, it's just too hard. I don't even want to bother.
Yeah. I mean, especially considering they're both adults at this point, like they don't have the easy excuse of, oh, our parents wouldn't drive us to see each other.
Yeah. They like, both drive at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are 18. Figure it out.
All right. We did it. Wasn't as hard as I thought. I think the coffee really helped. Thanks everyone for listening to our Halloween special. Season 3 will be coming soon. Crystal and I are watching. We have lots of content for you. Hopefully that'll start pumping out in November, but follow the Instagram to stay posted. And again, don't forget to follow Between Lewis and Lovecraft and check out their Halloween episode.
Yay!
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
She's my friend because we know what it's like for people to be jealous of us.
It's so nice when you can sit with someone and not have to talk. You and I are a team. Nothing is more important than our friendship.
Thank you for listening to the Best Friends Playbook podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
You can also email us episode suggestions at bestfriendsplaybook@gmail.com. And if you could please leave us a review on iTunes, it helps us greatly to grow our podcast.